We'll be turning to our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. And today I'd like us all to open up, whether you have your Bible with you or a phone, to open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll be starting in the 13th verse today. If you're having any trouble finding 1 Peter, I got a helpful hint. It comes right before 2 Peter, which is also known as repeat, if you didn't know. Repeat. No one ever laughs at that joke. I really need to stop telling it. So I digress. We're going to be turning to the book of 1 Peter today and continuing on a journey that we began 2 weeks ago when we were asking a very important question. However, before we dive into 1 Peter and what it is the word of the Lord has in store for us today, it is vital for us to really take some time to recap what we did 2 weeks ago as we began asking a very vital question that we need to know the answer to. Especially we, God's people, need to know the answer to, because in today's world, in today's society, there's so much confusion over this question. A question that I fully believe came into existence on a day long ago in a galaxy, or Galilee, not so far away. I'm going to get that right one of these days. When Jesus responded to Peter's profession of faith, when Peter just boldly proclaimed, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the one we have been waiting for, the one we have hoped for." I believe this question came into existence right here in Matthew 16, 17 through 18, when it says, "And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Once again, something we discussed last week is the first time in the whole Word of God that this word is used, church. The word in particular is ekklesia in Greek, and it means gathering, it means community, it means a collective of people, which made us realize the question isn't as much what is the church as it is who is the church. So what and who is this thing Jesus calls the church, that he builds upon the profession of faith that we each and every one of us make? What and who is the church? First and foremost, 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the church is a community, but not just any ordinary community like our neighborhoods. It is a community of belonging, and our belonging matters, that God has given us a place to belong in his community, in his church, in his family. We all have roles that we take part in, as we all take part in the great mission of God that he has given us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. In the mission he's given us, particularly as a church here in Exeter, California, that we all have a place. And us functioning in that place, us doing our part, matters for the greater mission of the kingdom of God here in Exeter and beyond. The church is a community. It's a family, God's family. And we belong to it. We are the church. This then brought us into the discussion of what that means, bringing us to today when we talk about what it means to be God's holy church. Holy. That's an interesting word, if you ask me. We use that quite a bit in the church. Holy, holy this, holy that. Holy moly! In fact, your Bibles. We talked about this in the underground this last week. I dare to say almost every Bible in existence, almost every Bible in existence, to include your Bible apps, has a word before the word Bible. That word is holy. But what does that mean? Holy. Even more so, as we'll learn today, we need to understand what it truly means to be holy. Because as God's church, we are called to be holy. We are called to be a holy and set apart community. Which brings us to 1 Peter today. We're going to be going to the 14th verse, and we're going to read to the 16th today, and we're going to just really dig into what it is that Peter has to say. He says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who is called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Peter making something very clear to us here. Holiness is not an option. Being holy is not something that we can choose or choose not to do. It is our calling. It is a command. It is a decree given to us by God to be holy as he is holy. What does that mean, though? Google defines holy. If you actually look up the definition of holy, Google will say this. It means to be dedicated or consecrated to God or a religious purpose sacred. That's what Google says. And it's really just like how Google defines the church. It doesn't quite capture the nature of what we're talking about, of what it means to be holy, what it means to walk in something we call in the church holiness. It doesn't quite capture it. In fact, it gives us a very worldly definition. Should we blame Google for that? A worldly search engine to give us a worldly definition and not to define things the way the Word of God defines it? No, we can't blame it for that. But we need to understand that this is how the world sees holiness. And yes, part of holiness is being dedicated and consecrated to God. But the holiness that Peter is saying that we are called to is so much more than that. Because he says to be holy as he is holy, as God is holy, that we are called to be holy as God is holy, as I am holy. What does that mean? I like the Google definition. It's pretty simple. It's easy to understand. In short, being holy means to be different. But not just different for difference sake. It means to be different, and in particular, as we're talking about holiness and what it means to live and walk in a holy manner as God is holy, it means to be different as God is different. It means to be set apart. Now, this is a word I struggle with. In fact, I had to reprint the worship outlines this Sunday because I used the wrong form of apart in the message title. I mean, does anybody else struggle with that? A part? I do. I might be alone in that, but I struggle with it because, you know, when you put the A with the part, it means that it's separate. But when you take the A out of the part, it means that it's together. It's maddening to me. It's so backwards. I digress, though. It's neither here nor there. This is what it means to be holy. It means to be set apart. It means to be different. It means to be different as God is different. And we understand these things when we actually look at this call to holiness that God gives through 1 Peter. You see, this call was not an isolated call. Peter says something in verse 16. "Since it is written," he says. He says, "Since it is written." Where is it written? Where? Does anybody actually know where this command to live holy as God is holy comes from? It comes from Leviticus. In fact, it comes from Leviticus 19:2. God tells Moses to speak to the congregation of Israel. He says, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" In context, when we go back to chapter 18, we see a little bit more about what God is actually meaning by saying, "You're going to be different as I, the Lord your God, am different." It says this in verse 1 through 3 of 18, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. And as we go down more into 1 Peter, into verse 14, we say, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. If we go back there, we begin to see an idea of what God's talking about here. What it is that God's commanding of us here. When he says, you shall be holy as I am holy. When he says this to the people of Israel, when he commands this of the people of Israel, we need to think about what's going on. The people of Israel are about to take the promised land. They're about to go, and the conquest is about to happen. And God's telling them, you will not walk in the ways that the people that you formerly lived with in Egypt walked. You will not walk in the ways that the people of Canaan walk, because you know, they're going to conquest the land. And what we got to realize is when they conquest the land, when they go and take possession of the promised land, they are a vessel of God's judgment on the people of Canaan. It says that in the Bible, they are a vessel of God's judgment because of all their sin and inequity and unwillingness to turn and repent of that sin and inequity. That it had gotten so bad that God sends Israel as a vessel of his judgment on the people of that land, to give it over to the people of Israel. And we see this whenever God first calls Abram, who becomes Abraham. And he says, I'm going to give you this land, but it's not now. You're not going to get it now. You're not going to take possession of it now, because the inequity of all these peoples who live in this land is not yet complete. And I love that. I love that passage because it tells me something, that God was waiting. God was waiting for their hearts to turn. He wasn't just going to just swipe them off the face of the earth because of their sin. He was giving them opportunity. He was being patient with them. He knew where their hearts were going. He knew where their hearts were turning. But he shows love, mercy, and compassion nonetheless, just like he does for you and me. As he waits patiently for us to come to know Jesus. He waits patiently for our friends and family to come to know Jesus. He waits patiently for our worst enemy, knowing good and well that the day of judgment is reserved for us. The day of judgment for those who do not turn and come into a loving, believing relationship in who Jesus is. Who doesn't ever recognize or look to the cross for salvation. That day is coming. But back to our point today. This is what God means. You are to be holy. It means to be different. You weren't to do the way that they are to do, or they were doing, God tells Israel. And he tells us that we're not to do as others did, as we used to do, before we came to know Jesus. Because once again, 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Rather, be different. Be set apart. Be changed from everyone and everything else. He calls us, just like he calls Israel, to be different. Now, this doesn't mean to be different, once again, for different sake. Because it's not hard to be different. I'm sure we can all look around this room right now and see something different about each and every one of us. We have different interests. We're wearing different kinds of clothes, different colors. It's not hard to just be different. It's not being different for different sake. It's being different like God is different. It's being changed and set apart like God is set apart. It's being who God created us to be in the very creation of the world. In Genesis 1:27, when it says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is what it means to be holy like God is holy. To live out the fact that we are image bearers of God. That when the world would look to us, when the world would look to his church, they would see Jesus. Sadly, in today's world, in our culture, they see a lot of things, but I think that when the world looks to the church, they don't see Jesus very often. All the more reason why we have to take this command, this calling, seriously. Because the church is to be a holy and set apart community. It's supposed to be different as God is different, as Jesus was different. It's supposed to be who God created us to be in our very creation, to be signposts to Jesus, to be signposts to the Father, to show people who God is in our words and actions. It is so that we would reveal who Jesus is to the whole of creation. And we have to ask ourselves a question, a very important question. Why is it that God saved us? Because this deals directly with why God saved us. He saved us so that we would be holy. There's a lot of reasons. So that we would have salvation, we would have forgiveness from our sins, but even more so that we could once again be who He created us to be. There's a book I read a long time ago by Kevin DeYoung. It's called The Hole in Our Holiness. And it explained something to me that just rocked my world, that this idea of holiness is the very reason for our salvation. And we don't hardly ask that question, why did God save me? He saved me so that I can be the way He created me to be. Passages like John 3:16 does tell us, like, God loved us. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, the Bible also shows us that God saves us for the praise and glory of His name, like Ephesians 1:12, where it says, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. Then verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory? You know, these are excellent, wonderful answers, and they're all accurate. They're biblical. But He brought you salvation so you could be who He created you to be. And that is holy, set apart, just like He is holy and set apart. Something the Bible testifies to us time and time again, like Ephesians 1, 3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Then there's 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Then there is 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. In his book, A Hole in Our Holiness, Kevin DeYoung then exposits each of these passages and so many more to show us that this is why God brings us into a relationship with Him. This is why Jesus comes, so that we would be changed. We would be made anew. We would be once again who He created us to be. Kevin puts it this way: the Bible could not be any clearer. The reason for your entire salvation, the design behind your deliverance, the purpose for which God chose you in the first place is holiness. And He didn't choose us as individuals. He chose us as a community. That we, the church, would be a holy and set apart community that reveals to the world and all of creation who He is. Are we, though? Are we different? Not different for different sake, but are we really different? God is different. Do we live different as God is different? Because once again, it's not hard to be different. But the difference we are called to, as 1 Peter says in verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passion of your former ignorance. that time that we were before Christ, that we were still dead in our sins, that we would be changed. And those former ignorances that Peter and many other writers, famed writers, write about, saying to be holy, to become holy, is becoming a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, and requires us to resist the world which wants to press you into its mold, saving yourself for marriage, staying sober on Friday night, turning down a promotion due to ethical reasons at work, realizing your life's worth and calling is found in Christ and in Christ alone, not a secular career. Refusing to partake in unclean speech, refusing to partake in certain things, even when everyone else is doing it. You know, my mom would always say, if everybody was jumping off a bridge, would you? And I know I've said this joke before, well, it depends on the bridge. Not the right answer to that question, once again, not the right answer at all. But the point is, if everyone else is doing it, why not? God shows us why not, because it's not how he designed us to live. He calls us to be different, to be changed. He calls us to be holy as he is holy, different as he is different, to choose not to partake in things that everyone else partakes in. Why? Because it's an offense to God. It's a very offense to him, and it's the reason Jesus had to come and die. There's some passages in the Bible that talks about crucifying Christ a second time when it comes to continuing to live in our sins. It's like, would you crucify Christ a second time? He died so that we could be freed of all those things that we lived in our former ignorance, and that we could be changed. And as I said, there are many authors who tells us exactly what it means to be changed. Many famed writers. They wrote it down. They wrote it down for us so that we would know what it means to be holy as God is holy, to be different as God is different. But not only do we have to ask the question, is, are we different? Do we desire to be different? Because there's the thing. If there's no desire for holiness in our lives, if there's no desire to leave behind our former ignorance and to walk in Christ and in Christ alone, it's never going to come to our lives. Do we crave holiness? Words that I wake up to every morning, as my wife has a little pegboard with those words pegged into it. Do I crave holiness? Words that every morning I wake up, I have to ask, do I? Am I craving to be holy right now, right here? Because there's a difference between craving something and just having to do it. Sure, anyone could be holy in the sense of begrudging obedience. Anyone could be a law-abiding citizen for following the law of the land. Anyone could do that because they have to. But I'm sure all of us, when we're driving down the road, we're thinking, gosh, I could totally go 80 right now in this 70. I know every time I get stopped at a red light with the red arrow to turn left, and there's literally no one there. No one's there for miles. And I'm just like, why can't I just turn left? It doesn't make sense. Why is that there? But you know what? Begrudgingly and obedient-like, because it is the law, and there could be a cop down the road, I stop, and I stay stopped, and I wait impatiently for the light to turn green. Anyone can do that. Also, anyone can do this holiness thing because they want to look better than others. They want to look good in front of others. It's self-serving. It's self-seeking. And it's like, look at me and all the things I'm doing. And look at them over there and look at what they're not doing. Anyone can do that. But that's not holiness. That is not holiness and has never been this thing we call holiness. Holiness is not an outward expression, but rather an outpouring of what's already happening inwardly. Holiness begins here. Living holy as God is holy begins here. It begins with integrity. Something I learned in the army meant to do what was right when no one was looking. It's easy to do the right thing when everybody's looking, because you don't want to look like a fool, nor do you want to look like a bad person. It's a whole other thing when the doors are closed, the windows are sealed, to do the right thing then, when no one is looking. It takes integrity. And to have that integrity, it takes desire. We have to desire it. We have to crave it. Do we crave to be holy? Because once again, it's not an outward expression. Rather, it is what is already happening inwardly, being poured out of us. To be holy as God is holy, to be different as God is different, it has to begin within us. And as it happens within us, it comes forth from us. If we're not living different in private, we'll never truly live different in public. We'll never truly be the church who God is calling us to be if we can't first come to that place to say, God, I want to be holy. Holy as you. I want to be as an obedient children who does not conform to his former passions that were ignorant. I want to live as you created me to be. I want to be who you made me to be. I want to live holy. I want to be your image. I desire to be your image, even though I know it's going to make me look like a fool. I love what Kevin DeYoung says about this in his book, The Hole in Our Holiness. There are no cheerleaders. The world provides no cheerleaders on the pathway to godliness. Isn't that the truth? There are no people lining the roads of Exeter saying, look at you, go, 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 keep doing the right thing. Keep loving people more than yourself. Keep not doing those things that distract you from the gospel. Keep reading your Bible. There are no cheerleaders in this world on the pathway to godliness. In fact, some people will be like, why are you going to do that? Why do you do that? I love our game church missions because we get that question a lot. Why? Well, we're here to tell you Jesus loves you and give you free stuff. Why? Jesus loves you. No, why? We have those interactions with people where they're just like, I don't get it. Why would you do this? And it is. It's because Jesus loves you. And he's called us to love you just like he loves you. To love you like we love ourselves. To consider others more significant than ourselves. And yes, it can make us look very foolish. But once again, the point isn't how we would look before others. It's how we would look before our Father, how he would perceive our lives. And it begins here. And one more point about this. It's not a checklist of do's and don'ts. So often in our culture, we mistake holiness as a checklist of things I do and things I don't do. That's not holiness. Because once again, it's something that's already transformed our heart. It's something that we desire and crave to be. And those do's and don'ts just happen naturally. We're not just checking boxes off each and every day. We're living it. It's a part of who we are and our identity in Christ. And this is what it means to be the church. It's a community of belonging where our belonging matters. And in that, it is a holy, set apart community to be different. As God is different. But we have to ask ourselves the question, do we truly desire it? Do we really want it? Do we want to be holy as God is holy? This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade. But the word of the Lord remains forever.